following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Good morning, guys. Welcome back to Refuge Daily. So glad that you guys are here and watching. My name's Noah. Excuse my tired eyes because I'm tired. It is early in the morning on this Thursday. But got some exciting things to talk about and share with you guys. I started sharing the Christmas series that I'm going through with junior high right now, and it's been a really fun one. The Christmas story is kind of hard to teach in a sense because there's only so many different perspectives that you can keep going over, and everyone has heard the story so many different times, but cannot emphasize enough how important this story is and the things that occurred in it, all the way up to Jesus's birth and afterward as he grows in the New Testament. It's a very important story. I mean, we can't deny that. So with junior high, I've been going through the different perspectives of each of the characters that play a role in the story. So far, I've gone through Mary and Joseph. We went through the shepherds, and now we're going through the three wise men. I kind of skipped shepherds for you guys. I'm sorry about that, but Christmas is coming, so I had to shorten some things up. So we are talking about the wise men, the three wise men, and their story and their perspective. You guys have heard of these three wise men, I'm assuming, from Christmas carols, nativity sets, to the Christmas stories. But we actually don't know much about these wise men. We do know a few things. We know that they followed a star in the night sky to find baby Jesus. They brought him gifts that carried a lot of significance. But we're going to talk about all of that, their perspective, what were they doing, what did the gifts mean, and that's in Matthew chapter 2. So if you want to turn there, please do. We're going to talk about the gifts baby Jesus received in just a minute. But first, let's talk about those wise men and who they really were and what we might have gotten wrong about them in our first perceptions. So Matthew 2, verses 1 through 7. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, that's what we're going to call them, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chiefs, priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly, found out from them the exact time the star appeared. All right, so we get a couple things from this. Since there are so few verses about the Magi, there are a lot of things we don't know about the wise men. We don't know how many of them visited Jesus. We are told often three through tradition and the Christmas holiday, but there are probably more than three. We don't know their names, we don't know how old they are, or exactly where they came from. We don't even know how they learned about the star that guided them to Jesus, but here's what we do know. We knew they were scholars. Based on their studies and readings, they understood that a king was going to be born and that he would change everything. They knew the time, so they followed that star, traveling thousands of miles just to see and worship him. They somehow knew how to find Jesus, which was crazy. They brought really awesome gifts with them, really expensive gifts, and these wise men were important. They were wealthy, intelligent. They had influence, but when they learned this new king had been born, they knew they had to go and honor him, which is so interesting. Unlike King Herod, the other king who was a part of the story, who immediately feared and hated baby Jesus, these wise men responded to this new king with worship. So how did these wise men worship Jesus? I said that very briefly. They didn't play their first favorite worship song on a Bluetooth speaker and sing at him. Probably not what they wanted to do here. They brought gifts. They brought these really interesting and expensive gifts, and that is in the same chapter, verses 11 through 12. "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Ooh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." All right. I don't know about you guys, but I don't know anyone who'd say no to getting gold for Christmas. But frankincense and myrrh, especially in the sense of it being given to a baby as a baby-appropriate gift, I don't think they were very practical baby gifts, but what they lacked in cuteness, they made up for in purpose. See, the wise men understood that this child they were visiting was special, so the gifts they brought him were designed to show him praise, glory, and worship. And all of the gifts the wise men gave to Jesus were precious and expensive, but they were also symbolic too. For instance, gold. Gold is an extremely valuable precious metal, as we all know. This was a gift that represented power and royalty, and it wasn't a gift you just give to just anyone, but gold was definitely a gift for a king. Frankincense is a resin, kind of like a tree sap, taken from the, I don't know how to pronounce that tree. Look it up on Google, sorry. It was often used to make perfumes, and it had medicinal uses, but even more importantly, this was often seen as a gift you would give to a deity. In other words, frankincense was a gift for a god. In this case, the only god, in Jesus' case. Myrrh, like frankincense, was also a resin taken from a different plant. It was commonly used in perfumes, but this gift was significant because it was often used to prepare a body for burial. It's a strange gift for a baby because myrrh was a gift that symbolized death. The wise men didn't give Jesus meaningly gift cards or toys. They gave him gifts that meant something. Through their gifts, they communicated, they were saying, "You are our king, you are our God, and we know you will one day die to save us." And even if they didn't fully understand those concepts or like where Jesus was headed, because that's more than likely, you can see how these gifts truly like showed what was going to occur. It blows my mind. It blows my mind that those were the gifts. Those were the symbolic representations of those items at the time in the given culture. And so it's an incredible orchestration of just these guys going like, "Hey, here are these gifts, and we're here to worship you. We're here to proclaim you as our king." It blows my mind. These gifts are more than just gifts. They expressed the wise man's trust in who Jesus was, and it was an act of worship. And with their gifts, the wise men gave Jesus the worship that he deserved. They honored him, gave him their best, and they communicated that he was worthy of their best. Worthy of the long, exhausting journey it took to find him, and worthy of everything they could give him and more. Because these wise men understood that baby Jesus was God in the flesh. They understood that as long as they had breath, they were called to worship him. By giving Jesus gifts that were costly and meaningful, the wise men set an example for us. Application time. We may not be rich, and there's not really a way for us to give Jesus physical gifts. But as long as we have breath, we can give Jesus our worship in the same way that the wise men did. So my call to all the junior hires and to you guys on the first Christmas, the wise men gave their worship. This Christmas, how could you and I do the same? How exactly can we follow the wise men and their example? What does it really mean to worship Jesus? I mean, the wise men could see Jesus. They could bring him gifts, give him attention and affection. In practical physical ways, but let's start by defining worship. Worship is what happens anytime we give honor to Jesus with our words or actions. It's about thanking him for what he's done and praising him for who he is. And believe it or not, a lot of our actions correspond as worship, especially if they are aimed to honor and glorify God. So that means we can worship in a ton of different ways, not just in the common, you know, praise or singing as we so often kind of identify it with. So I kind of created a list directly from the Bible, from God, on what it means to worship him in the different ways that we can worship him. And you see this all in the pages of Scripture. So singing praise to him, telling God or thanking God for the things that we have and the things that he's doing. Praising God with words describing who he is, how incredible he is. Telling others about God. That was the story of the shepherds and how they went and shared what happened and how they received the good news. So we could share that with people, and that's honoring and worshiping God. Sharing our stories of faith with others can be an act of worship. Letting go of things that keep us far from him. Letting go of bad habits. Letting go of sin. That's worship. Making time for him daily in your daily devotions, that's worshiping. Choosing to obey God, that's also worshiping. And then one of the most important ones, loving and serving the people that God loves, which is everyone. Our community is full of people who need help, love, or a friend in many different senses, especially now. That counts as worship too. So when we think about worship, don't just kind of default to like, oh yeah, worship. No, worship is important. It's more than what we could ever possibly imagine. It's so relevant to us. Worship with our words, worship with our actions. When we use our actions and our words to give honor to Jesus, we follow the example the wise men set by worshiping him. An extremely important lesson, an extremely important truth that the Bible iterates again and again and again. We are called to be living sacrifices, to worship, to give that reasonable sacrifice to God. And all the things that we do in all of our lives, in our family life, in our work life, day by day as we walk, to provide worship and honor and glory to God through the things that we say and do. Important lesson demonstrated so wonderfully by the three wise men, and I hope that this was a good reminder from the Christmas story on what it means to honor God, to worship God, and how even a little baby that was in a stable, that he was in a manger as well, like where the animals were eating out of, three wise men spent the time to research, to study, and then travel to bring these gifts to show the honor and the glory that this baby deserved. Blows my mind. Incredible. He also probably wasn't a manger at the time. He's probably a little bit older. Besides from the point, worship and honor, guys, and the things that we do and the things that we say, it all is relevant before God. And we want to make sure that we're on point in bringing that honor and glory and all of those things to worship him from day to day. Hope you guys have a wonderful Thursday, a wonderful Christmas season. I actually don't know when the next time I'll be on here. So from me, Merry Christmas have a blessed Thursday, guys.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.